Wow, my heart is full. I'm very tempted, but we're not going to do it. Let's just real quick, let's begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Quite a few things I'm wanting to get to this morning. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so we've said that 1 Corinthians 13 is most known for being the love chapter, but it's also the growing up chapter and the seeing chapter. In other words, the ability to see things through the eyes of faith, hope, and love. And we see that growth is what we've been talking about and will continue to talk about. And clearly the Apostle Paul is talking about growth here when he's talking about making this transition, this progression from one who is as a child to one who is as an adult. And in this, he gives us two sets of three elements, our thoughts, our understanding, and our words, our speaking, okay? Thought like a child, understood like a child, spoke like a child. We said understanding, to make it more practical, is the way you see things, how you, your words, to make it again more practical, is how you respond to things. So we've got to go from thinking, seeing things, and responding like a child to thinking, seeing things, and responding like an adult. Amen? But then he also includes a second set of three. That second set of three is faith, hope, and love. So let's just, again, some of this is review, some of this I'm saying it in a way I haven't said before, but saying the same thing. Amen. So the opposite of faith, hope, and love is fear, regret, and selfishness. So if we're going to grow, we're going to have to grow in the areas of faith, hope, and love, meaning we're going to have to dig out the fear, regret, and selfishness and put it away. Amen. But then if we combine the faith, hope, and love with the thoughts, understanding, and words, or thoughts, the way we see things and the way we respond to things, let's look at what this means then. Let's just kind of put it together, okay? So we're talking about faith thoughts. We're very familiar with fear thoughts. We call that worrying, or we call that dread, right? So thoughts that are fear-based are going to produce all kinds of negative emotions in our lives, okay? But I've said this over and over again, I'm going to say it again. If change is going to happen, it's going to happen here, or it's not going to happen. If breakthrough is going to happen, it's going to happen at this level, or it's not going to happen. Amen. All right? So we're talking about a shift away from fear-based thinking to faith-based thinking. Faith thoughts. Amen. Faith thoughts. All right? That would be processing outcomes based upon fear or based upon faith. Okay. We're also talking about hope-based thinking. That means our thoughts are not focused on what bad thing could happen, but based upon what expectation we have for good things. And for it to work out for us, because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. See, know those faith thoughts, faith-based thoughts, hope-based thoughts. And here's, then we have love-based thoughts, right? As opposed to selfishness-based thoughts. I think we would all be shocked if we knew how much time we spend every day thinking about ourselves. Now, remember, faith is the ability to see beyond this created realm into the realm of the Spirit. That's where your help comes from. That's where your supernatural breakthroughs come from. Not from working harder. I'm not opposed to hard work, but working hard will not produce the things of the Spirit in the flesh. You see what I'm saying? All right. Got to believe harder. Amen. Stand on the Word. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But let me break it down for you, okay? Some of you never heard me say this. Some of you heard me say it so many times you can say it yourself. Fear is the ability to see beyond this created realm. Hope is the ability to see beyond what you're going through right now. Love is the ability to see beyond yourself. If you never learn to see beyond yourself, you'll never see beyond what you're going through right now. If you can never see beyond what you're going through right now, you'll never be able to see beyond this created realm. That's why the greatest of these is love. So we've got to shift away from selfishness-based thinking and move over into love-based thinking. Not looking for what somebody can do for you, but what can you do for somebody else? Not seeing other people as existing for your benefit. Not seeing your spouse as existing for your benefit. Not seeing your family as existing for your benefit. Not seeing your workers or coworkers existing for your benefit, whether they're over you or under you in authority. But you begin to see yourself as existing for their benefit. Life makes a lot more sense when you understand you're here to serve. Amen. So this is what we mean by growth, right? So now we're not just shifting away from fear-based to faith-based thinking, regret-based to hope-based thinking. Why do we not do, when we know clearly what the Word of God instructs us to do, why do so many people not do it? It's because they're afraid of what will happen. They're afraid they will do it and regret it. They're afraid they will pay their tithes and then not be able to pay their power bill at the end of the month. It's regret. You see how fear, regret, and selfishness work together. So we're afraid to do what God said because we're afraid we will regret it if we do, and so we just keep being selfish. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. Didn't mean to talk this much about this, but this is where we need to be right now, so we're going to stay here for a minute, okay? So this is where growth happens. We began last week, and I shared two different things. I won't go back over them both, but I talked about that, you know, Greg and Christy, they ride bicycles, and Caleb and, you know, Callie. So I'm like, you know, I'm gonna get me a bicycle, you know, get exercise. That's good, you know. So you start looking for, you know, bicycles on the internet and trying to figure out which one's the right one to get and so forth and so on. And then because you look for it on the internet, you start getting stuff in your feed, right? And so I bought a bicycle, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're buying a light for it. You're buying a water bottle holder for it. You're buying a helmet. You're buying, the shoes. You're buying the shorts, you know. It's just the whole ecosystem of bicycling, right? You understand what I'm saying? You're researching the different apps that track your progress. And at some point, you realize you're doing everything around the bicycle but riding it. Amen. And so the same thing happens with our Christian walk. Amen. We get so caught up in all the trappings, all the things that surround the Christian life, that I'm not saying those things aren't important. I'm not saying that they're not enjoyable. Okay? But those things alone will not help you grow in the things of God any more than not riding a bicycle will help you get healthier and in better shape. If you're going to get in better shape, you got to pedal. I mean, I even got the yellow bike shorts with a yellow tank top to match. Are you honest? I mean, I look good. I'm just telling you, I look good. I stand in the mirror and just look at myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, look at you, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Right? But that, you understand? You can have all the Christian t-shirts, all the, the bracelets, yeah, all that, necklaces, all that. And I'm not saying don't. But none of that's going to help you go from fear-based to faith-based thinking. Amen. All right. So we're here to grow. Not be entertained. We're here to grow. All right. And why is this? It's because growth is the key to lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. So again, we're answering these questions. What does it look like? What does that mean to grow and these kinds of things? Well, this is, I'm trying to give you practical, both, you know, an understanding of it, a visualization of it, but also then how to practically participate. Amen. And so let's go back to it then. So your understanding is not just a deeper form of knowledge. I mean, it is, but real understanding is how you see things. How you see things. And so we're talking about seeing things through the lens of faith, seeing things through the lens of hope, seeing things through the lens of love. Then, of course, words, that's how we respond. Responding with faith, responding with expectation and hope and confident expectation. Responding with love. Every husband and wife in the room say amen. Amen. Responding with love. Praise God. Now all of this feeds into so many different things in our lives because these are the pillars. These three things go together, stand together, work together, produce results together. Let me say it another way. If you get the faith, hope, and love down, everything else in your life is going to be affected positively by those things. So growth is the key to lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. Now, we said that some signs of growth would be like these. We trust God instead of worrying. We give thanks instead of complaining. We bless others and things instead of cursing. And I don't just, you know, you can curse things and never use a four-letter word. Mercy instead of judging, patience instead of frustration, kindness instead of indifference. I'm not saying this to brag on myself. I'm just trying to give you some idea. I was involved in a really, long, many hours project yesterday working on my truck. And I needed a bolt for a shock absorber. And, one bolt, are you ready? $21.49. And I'm like, you know what? They sell bolts at Home Depot. So the guy at AutoZone in Hueytown, he says, the hub store in Green Springs has got it. I said, well, I'm going to stop at Home Depot on my way and see if I can't save myself $19.50, right? Well, there was this young guy there. He had his handful of nuts and bolts trying to figure out, match something, right? And what he had, he could tell he wanted to talk to me about it. He's like, you think this will work? And I'm like, no, it's not. In my mind, I'm going, that ain't going to work, right? Because he's got stainless steel, different threads, all that stuff, right? I'm in a hurry. I'm in a hurry, right? Let's just say 45 minutes later, me and Casey got to be good buddies, okay? Amen, right? And this is what I thought, you know what I'm saying? I don't know his whole story. But I had a dad in my life who taught me about nuts with nylon washers. He was clueless about it all, right? Are you saying? Okay. And so the point I'm trying to make is it's very easy for me to just, I don't know, push that button over there, see if somebody will come help you, But I was able to connect with him. Are you following what I'm saying? Again, I'm just trying to give you an example that of what we're talking about here. That may sound so simple, but that was kindness instead of indifference. It's like, dude, you're trying to fix a stand. I got time for this. This is my truck. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, all right. Self-control instead of losing your temper. Peace instead of anxiety. Joy instead of depression. All right. So again, growth is the key. How many times do you want me to say this morning? Growth is the key to lasting change. So here's the question. How do we grow, or how does growth occur in the life of a born again believer? Well, God calls his plan for our growth discipleship. God calls his plan for your growth, for my growth, discipleship. It's one of the reasons we are now in our 22nd year of something we call here at Heritage Discipleship Class. Amen. Because those classes exist to help people grow. To help people grow. Now, the pattern that Jesus established in Matthew chapter 11 is, come and I will give, learn and you will find. That word learn is the Greek word manthano. It's the root from which we get our word discipleship. And discipleship is not just about gaining knowledge. It's not just about gaining information. It's about learning through experience. It's experiential knowledge. where things go from being a theory to something proven in our lives because we've walked it out, we've lived it out. Our current understanding was forged in us through experiences. Remember, your understanding is how you see things. How you see things determines how you respond to things. And your current understanding was formed and forged like a blacksmith forging iron. It was forged in you over the course of your lifetime. This is why it requires otherworldly resources and power to change it, to alter it. Amen. Primarily the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God and your cooperation with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh. Amen. This is how our understanding, or how we see things, which ultimately determines how we respond to things, changes. So Jesus says, come and I will give. Learn by experience and you will find. You will discover. You will discover. Amen. All that is true about you, all that God has given to you, everything that He has made you right now already. So again, we're talking about growth now. We're talking about discipleship. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse number 12. I want to show you some things here about growth that just fundamental basics. Then we're going to get to some more practical, okay? Are you still with me? All right. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So not just a child, But a babe, an infant. Okay? Now, let's look at some quick things here. When I say quick, this is not, I could spend the rest of our time together on this part right here, but I'm trying to get to another verse this morning. Amen. So the first thing that we see just from these two verses is that growth does not occur automatically with time. Thank you for that one right in agreement over to my left. Amen. Okay. I recognize your voice, Katie. Praise God. All right. Doesn't occur automatically over time. It differs from, when we're talking about spiritual growth now, it differs from physical growth. Amen. There was a child, at least, you know, get it something to eat and drink or whatever, you know, it's going to get bigger. It's going to physically grow over time. And we sometimes think that spiritual growth and development works the same way, but it doesn't. And of course, this verse and other verses make that very clear. Because these folks had been born again long enough to be teaching other people, but that wasn't happening. Okay? So first thing we need to understand from these two verses about spiritual growth is that growth does not occur automatically with time. Okay? The next thing is that growth does not occur by hearing alone. Because based upon this, they had heard when he says you need someone to teach you again. If they needed somebody to teach them again, that means they had heard it before. Why am I the only one smiling? Amen. They had heard it before. Lord only knows how many times they had heard it. They had heard it enough that if hearing alone was going to help them grow, then they would have grown by now. Okay, so growth does not occur automatically with time. Growth does not occur by hearing alone. Now, this one's serious. We've been talking about this one on Wednesday night. Number three. Growth can be lost by returning to childishness. Jesus said, to him who has, more will be given. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Even what progress he has made, he will lose it. Paul talked about this in Philippians 3. If you reach a certain level of growth and development, that needs to become the new normal in your life. And you need to walk by that and live by that and sustain that so that you can move forward from there. Now, why is this the case? Because Paul explained that there is an obstacle to our growth. Come on now, there's an obstacle to our growth. There's an enemy who's pushing against us. There's a current that's flowing away from, in this world, the things of God. And if we're going to continue to make progress, we're going to have to push against that current. We're going to push against the powers of darkness that are trying to not only keep us from making progress, they're trying to push us backwards so that we would lose whatever progress that we make. How do we know this? He says, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Meaning what? Well, I've watched, again, my grandchildren, my children first, now my grandchildren. They progress from milk to solid food, right? Starts out as baby food, soft food, and have teeth yet, that sort of thing, okay? But then they continue to progress from there. So when he says you have come to need milk and not solid food, this tells me that there was a time when they started with milk, they moved up to some stronger things, but now they're back to milk again. They're back to milk again. So growth can be lost by returning to childishness. See, if we're going to have thoughts, understanding, and words dominated by faith, hope, and love, we're going to have to continue to deliberately, intentionally practice that. Amen. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. Praise God. I can tell you're thrilled by this. Number four, growth is more than gaining knowledge. Growth is more than gaining knowledge. You can know all kinds of good things from the Bible and still be as a spiritual baby. Amen. So is gaining knowledge important? Yes, but is growth more than gaining knowledge? Absolutely. Because growth requires developing new skills. Growth requires developing new skills. For everyone, verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He didn't say they were unknowledgeable. He didn't say they didn't have knowledge. He said they didn't have skill. Skill implies what? Doing something. Skill implies taking what you're learning and putting it into practice in your life and it becoming a new skill. What's the old skill? The old skill is worrying about everything. What's the new skill? The new skill is trusting God with everything. The old skill was leaning on your own understanding. The new skill is don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all of your ways, trust in Him with all of your heart, and allow Him to direct your path. The old skill was Google it. The new skill is what does the Word say about it? Amen. The old skill was find three people who've had something similar happen to them in their life and see how it worked out for them. The new skill. So these are skills. This is actually doing something. This is actually, you know, that's what it means to acknowledge God in all your ways. That's not just mental assent. This is something that we do. He didn't say acknowledge God in all of your thoughts. Certainly we need to acknowledge God in all of our thoughts. But he said acknowledge Him in all of your ways, the way that you do things. If we're not acknowledging God in all of our ways, it's kind of like that man who heard the word of God but didn't do anything with it. He continued to do something. He just wasn't doing what Jesus instructed him to do. So if we're not acknowledging God in all of our ways, we're acknowledging somebody and doing our life the way we live our lives according to some standard, according to some understanding, according to some way of looking at things, according to some way of doing things. Amen? That right there, to me, is where so many people are failing to grow. It's because it never translates into a new skill. Tithing is a skill. Amen. It's a skill. Kindness instead of indifference. It requires some skill. It requires some effort. It's not just a platitude. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so nice. It's very easy to talk about that in the pulpit. It's a whole lot different when there's a young man trying to figure out 16,000 screws and he needs one of them. And I'm in a hurry. I'm burning daylight. Are you following me? It took me 2.5 hours to track down that bolt. Can any of you relate to this? The hardest part of any 15-minute job is the first 2 hours. Our third trip to Lowe's. Oh. No offense to Lowe's, but I just learned, man, buy 4 different sizes of everything and return 3 of them. I mean, I'm saying it's just, amen. All right. This to me is where the wheels come off for a lot of people, is it never becomes a new skill. They're a hearer of the word, but not a doer. And the difference is in the doing. The difference is in the doing. And this is what you can, I can guarantee you this because Jesus guaranteed us this. The devil comes immediately to steal any word from you that you hear. And one of the ways that he steals it is by, you know, the Bible says you deceive yourself when you hear the word and you don't do it. Because you can hear the word and you can feel better about your situation and yourself and whatever. Man, that makes so much sense, man. Praise God. Say that again, Pastor Mark. Yes, yeah, that makes so much sense. But then it never becomes any developed skill in our lives. And then, you know, you do that about 7 years in a row and you just think the whole word of faith thing is just a bunch of men and women trying to get money out of folks so they can buy themselves an airplane. Amen. There's a lot. I know some people like that. Amen. Y'all still with me up in here? All right, let's go one more and then we'll move on. Growth progresses through stages that place increasing demands on our potential. It progresses through stages that place increasing demands on our potential. So remember now, your born again spirit determines your potential, but your understanding governs it. We're going to come back to that. I got a bunch of notes on that, but amen. Your born again spirit determines your potential, but your understanding governs it. A child of God who still understands like a slave will live like a slave even though they have the potential to live like a child of God. A free-born man or woman of God who still thinks like one who's addicted will continue to live like one who's addicted even though. Okay. So this, in our world today, you know, this wokeness that's coming, you know, it's like, placing a demand on our potential, that just sounds so heavy-handed. It just sounds so authoritarian. It just sounds so tyrannical, you know, whatever you say. No, it's just, again, it's somebody expecting something out of you that you're capable of doing. We've shifted away from placing a demand on potential to being codependent and enablers. Parents, learn to say no to your children. Because the world's going to tell them no. A lot of people I work with in recovery, you know, I say, you know, everything seems to be going good. I was like, yeah, has anybody told you no yet? That's when you start finding out how much progress we've actually made. Parents, you'll be grandparents one day. That's when you can just say yes all the time. I sees you, Bethany. I sees you, baby. People wouldn't like the look that you had on your face at me right then. Praise God. Oliver was talking about all the things that he was going to do with Granddaddy when Granddaddy got to his house one day, and Bethany said, well, Oliver, do you not think you ought to just ask Granddaddy? He's, oh, I will ask him, but he won't tell me no. That's Jake's job to tell him no. My job to tell you no, Bethany. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Which I did very rarely in my life. Amen. Because she was, amen. She said I had her. She said I had my shot. Then I gave her to Jake. Amen. All right, praise God. All right. So growth progresses through stages that place increasing demands on our potential. Meaning what? There's more expected of a child than there is a baby. From time to time, we have, you know, babies in the room and the baby cries out or whatever. It doesn't shock anybody. But if a 34-year-old man started crying out like a baby, it's like, okay, we got a problem here now. There's different levels of expectation, right? There's different levels of expectation that, again, place a demand on the potential that we have to follow the proper protocols in certain social situations, blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to get all that stuff. But you understand what I mean. So the same is true. Hear me now. Please hear my heart, okay? It's my job to expect more from us. Are you hearing me? I have a tendency, those of you who know me, I'm not good at asking for help. That's true. Somebody said amen. As people know me, know that. Amen. I have literally, you can laugh now, laugh later, laugh now and later. Okay. I've literally sat out there and I thought, well, maybe I could just take, you know, guitar lessons or something, you know, and made me think about it again when Shorty got on the drums. I'm like, you know, how hard could it be? I mean, I beat on the dash all the time. Maybe I could just learn to play drums. I could play drunk. We need a drummer, right? I thought, you know, if we turned all the chairs around, I could keep the nursery and preach. People would see me through the window. You realize that Pam right now, she has 2-year-olds to 6th graders trying to teach them all at their different level, right? Because, again, no consistent help. I had no intention of saying any of this right now, praise God. Demand on our potential. Well, you know, Pastor Mark, I'd love to help, but, you know, that means I'd have to make a commitment. Also known as a demand on your potential. You see what I'm saying? Are you with me? I've shared the story before, back when many, many years ago, I'd volunteer and teach and do different things at the Foundry and enjoyed every bit of it. And an early morning class came available. In those days, it was at the Foundry, like at 6:15 every morning, you know, 6 o'clock every morning. Man, in my heart, I knew in my heart I was supposed to do it. But I was like, man, I don't know if I want to commit to this. I mean, I'd rather kind of be the guy that y'all call if you don't have anybody. You know, somebody goes on vacation. You know what I'm saying, right? Amen. Okay, but guess what? That placed a demand on my potential that enabled me to write this one day. Because of all that the Lord taught me. And all those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings. Are you following me? I had that in me. But it wasn't until a demand was placed on my potential. Me and Matthew and my beautiful baby sister Meredith, we had a never beautiful summer day. Meredith, can you picture us going out in the backyard learning our multiplication tables? Like, I know, let's forget about these bicycles and skateboards and let's learn some times tables. No. But why do we know them today? Because somebody placed a demand on our potential to know them. Are you understand what I'm saying? We need people in our lives. We need these things in our lives. But see now, for a baby and a child, that's what parents are for. You heard Bethany a moment ago. I don't know if she said, I had my shot. Because why? Because she's a grown woman now. Now it's her and her family before God. And are you what I'm saying? It's different. So when we have children, but then part of becoming at least chronologically an adult You know what I'm saying? A box of Barber's ice cream sandwiches when I was living at home, I had somebody that I had to ask to get one, and was reminded that I already had two, and I had a brother and a sister and a dad who also liked ice cream sandwiches. But then I get married, I got my own freezer, Lindsay. Every ice cream sandwich in that box was mine. Both boxes was mine. All right. I might should have still had to call my mama and ask, right? Amen. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Growth progresses through stages that place increasing demands on our potential. So if we get to a point where we're not comfortable with increased demand on our potential, There's authority fits in here, okay? People want to have authority, but they don't want to be under authority. And God's way is the more authority you submit to, the more authority you're given to operate in. Amen. The centurion said, I'm a man under authority, I'm a man of authority. So we want to have authority, but we don't want to be under authority. Are you with me? That's one of the things that's blessed me with some of these young couples, Joel, Hannah, Caleb, and Callie, you know, recently got married. I've seen a lot of times over the years when young people, you know, they're living at home, mom and daddy make them come to church. They get married, they ain't nobody to make them come to church. And sometimes you see them fall out of church and not pursue that anymore, right? And so I'm shout out to these young couples continuing to honor God. And come on, somebody give them a hand or something. That's a big thing. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So they're not under their mom and daddy's authority anymore, but they're still under God's authority. But somehow we got this thing in our minds that we're going to reach a point in life where nobody's over us telling us what to do. I hate to break it to you, brother, sister, but if you want the life God has for you to live and enjoy and experience, that's not ever going to happen. I answer to more people today than I have ever answered to in my life. Are you following me? And guess what? I have more responsibility today than I've ever had in my life. That's the way God wants it to be. Growth progresses through stages that place increasing demands on our potential. So here's the bottom line of it. Can we just get simple? We grow by hearing and doing the Word of God. We dig out and put away the old by doing the new. Now, I'm trying to get just real specific. You cannot grow apart from the Word of God, hearing it and doing it. This means the Word of God is essential for growth, like water is essential for life. Water's not optional if you want to live more than 4 or 5 days. You got to have it. The Word of God is not optional. Hearing and doing the Word of God, it's not optional if you want to grow. It's essential. Now, we're getting really practical now. The Word of God is essential for growth. What does essential mean? Number one, it means it's absolutely necessary. If something is essential, sometimes we throw that word around. I have to watch myself. I throw essential around and use it for things that aren't really essential. If something is truly essential, there's three things that are true about it. First of all, it's absolutely necessary. Water is essential for life. It's absolutely necessary. Number two, there's no equal substitute. If you don't have any water handy, you can't drink tree bark. Or sand or dirt. I mean, I'm being silly here. You say, what about Mountain Dew, Pastor Mark? No, you understand what I'm saying. Amen. We're talking, forgive me, Lord. Amen. Is no equal, it's absolutely necessary. There's no equal substitute. Nothing else will do. And then number three, it cannot be self-produced. You have to get water. Your body uses water, burns water. It doesn't produce water. Y'all still with me? So I'm rushing this. I probably should all slow down. I'm not going to get to everything I want to get to today. But it's very important for us to recognize this right here. We don't grow accidentally. We grow deliberately, intentionally. We submit ourselves to the Word of God, to the men and women that God's put in our lives to help us and to serve us, to place a demand on our potential. Amen. So the Word of God is essential for growth. It's absolutely necessary. There's no equal substitute. Cannot be self-produced. If it can't be self-produced, that means you've got to what? Get it from an outside source. There are certain vitamins and nutrients, minerals that your body needs. They're essential. And your body doesn't produce them. So you have to get them either by taking supplements. Best way to do it is by eating fruits and vegetables and healthy things. Or if that's what we mean by it can't be self-produced. Now, we see this in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Do you see how, what he's saying here? We have to get what we need to live the life God created us to live from an outside source. This is why the devil, and especially here, you know, late in our country, I guess it's probably true in the world, is you hear people saying more and more about my truth, according to my truth. I'm sorry, my brother, my sister, but truth can't be self-produced. It can't be self-generated. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus. Amen. It's something that you're not born with. You have to get it from an outside source. It cannot be self-produced. Look at this in, I love the Amplified of this same verse, Jeremiah 10 and 23. O Lord, pleads Jeremiah in the name of the people. I know that the determination of the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man, even in a strong man or in a man at his best, to direct his own steps. See, some folks think, you know, so-and-so, man, you know, he's got it all together. He don't need to come to church. He don't need God to help him. But man, you know, sister so-and-so, she's really struggling. Her life's a mess. She needs the Lord to help her. No, it don't, are you following what I'm saying? At your strongest and your best, you still can't self-produce the answers that only God has for you in your life. All right. Now, I'm going to keep going. Can we keep going? Are y'all okay? Corrupting the understanding that governs our potential is the devil's number one strategy against the born-again believer. Do y'all remember that slide, those of you that are here for this? The devil wants to corrupt your understanding, meaning he wants to corrupt the way you look at things and ultimately then the way you respond to things. And, of course, this is why the battlefield of the mind occurs in the thoughts. Because thoughts combined with experiences is what forms or forges our understanding. The way we look at things and the way we look at things determines how we respond to things. I think I said it 15 times already this month, but if change is going to happen, it's going to happen at this level. It's not going to happen at all. If breakthrough is going to happen, it's going to happen at this level. It's not going to happen at all. Now, let's go here. I don't know how much time we're going to have for this, but I'm going to do the best I can. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, there's a whole segment of teaching that we could do associated with this, but the Bible says, it's the grace of God that teaches us to live righteously and soberly in this present evil age. Titus 2:11. 1 John 3 says, whoever has this hope in himself or herself will purify their life even as Christ is pure. Meaning, the more we understand the goodness of God to us, the more passionate we are to go after the things of God and pursue His highest and best for our lives. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Remember, indeed means in your performed action. So as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Amplified Version says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. Remember, your spirit has been, your soul is being, and your body will be saved. Since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. We sometimes think desire comes and goes like the wind. The devil would have you believe that you have no control over what you desire. That it's like broccoli. You either like it or you don't. And the devil will try to tell you that when it comes to the Word of God, you either have a taste for it or you don't. Are you following me? You either like Sister So-and-so who comes to every Bible study, listens to tapes, recorded sermons, watches preaching on YouTube, or, you just don't care for. No. See, again, that's a lie from the enemy. You decide what you treasure. You decide what's a priority to you. You decided to get out of bed and come to church this morning. At some level in your life, it's a priority for you and your family. Amen. So, let's not overlook the part where he instructs us, we could even say commands us to desire. Like, you can't make somebody want it. Well, I understand that at least on one level, but because you're here this morning, it tells me that you at least want to want it. Okay? Amen. So, if you want to, then that's progress. And there's Bible verses that even use that same language. Okay. But we can choose a desire. And if you choose to treasure something, it won't be long before your heart is connected to it, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Now, what I want to try to do in the next few minutes, and I'll have to finish this another time, but we know that milk is good, but it's designed to cause growth so that better and richer things can be enjoyed and appreciated. We said a couple of times already that milk grows the teeth you need to chew the meat. Okay. Now, the milk of the word is compared to a mother's milk. And this may sound silly to you, but I want this to really register in your heart. Anything a mother's milk can do, the word of God can do better. Anything a mother's milk can do, the word of God can do better. In the scriptures, we sometimes see where the order is reversed. And what I mean by that is, we say something in heaven is like something on the earth, when it's really, the correct order is, things on the earth are like the eternal original in heaven. Did you follow that? For example, Paul did this in Ephesians 6 when he's talking about marriage. And he talks about the mystery that occurs between a man and a woman and the oneness. And he's making sure that we understand that that is an earthly copy of a heavenly original. In other words, it's something much deeper even than marriage between a man and a woman and the two becoming one. Okay? Long before there was a mother to nurse a child, there was one called El Shaddai. And El Shaddai, this makes some people a little nervous, but it means the all-breasted one. In other words, milk comes from him to us. And a mother's ability to nurse her child is an earthly reflection of that eternal original. Okay? So when he says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, we see that El Shaddai, God, it's his word, is that milk. Amen? So again, anything a mother's milk can do, the word of God can do better. Let me get ahead of myself. I'm going to come back. Does anybody see the vitamin C in that apple right there? Do you see the nutrients that your body needs? No, we see an apple. We don't see all the macronutrients that are in that, but we know they're there. Will the vitamins and minerals and nutrients in that apple help you sitting on in a bowl on your kitchen counter? No, you got to eat it. Okay, all right. So, can anybody see the vitamins and minerals and nutrients? Not just for your physical body. Bible says the word of God is life to those that find it and health to all your flesh. It's the milk of the word that comes from El Shaddai. Fascinating facts about a mother's breast milk. This first one is phenomenal. A mother's milk changes dynamically, even within a single feeding. Breast milk shifts in composition from the beginning to the end of a feeding. The milk at the start is thinner and more hydrating, while the milk at the end is richer in fat and calories, almost like a built-in appetizer and main course. Are you ready for this? Back in the days where moms had children close together, so it's quite possible that one child was still nursing and she gave birth to another. If that mother nursed the newborn infant on one breast and the 12-month-old infant, or whatever, however would do the math for me, on the other breast, the composition of the milk would be different from both breasts for what that baby needed, depending on the growth of that baby. Number two, it adapts to the baby's specific health needs. I got to go back. Let me go back. Hold on just a second. Okay, we got to get this. Anything a mother's milk can do, the Word of God can do better. It adapts to the baby's specific health needs. When a baby is sick, the infant's saliva sends chemical signals back to the mother through nursing. Her body detects these signals and responds by producing milk with a higher concentration of targeted antibodies and immune cells, essentially a customized medicine tailored to fight that specific illness. A mother's breast milk contains over 1,000 proteins. Breast milk is remarkably complex. Researchers have identified more than 1,000 distinct proteins in it, along with hundreds of sugars, fats, hormones, growth factors, and enzymes. Many of these compounds still aren't fully understood, which is one reason formula can't fully replicate it. Number four, the sugars in breast milk feed the baby's gut bacteria, not the baby. A significant portion of the complex sugars in breast milks can't actually be digested by the infant. They exist specifically to nourish beneficial gut bacteria, helping establish a healthy microbiome that supports immunity and digestion long into childhood. Pastor Mark, you know, I'd read the Bible more, but I just don't understand it. Hello? Did you just what he said about the breast milk? That a lot of what the baby takes in, can't digest it yet. But by taking it in, it's preparing the baby to be able to handle stronger things in the future. I don't understand everything that's, I don't understand a lot of things in the book of Revelation, but the Bible says there's a special blessing to those who read this book. I guarantee you one thing, I'll never understand it any better than I do right now if I don't ever read it again. I got like 17 more of these. I don't want to rush this. Let's go with one more, number five. A mother's breast milk is technically a living fluid. What does Hebrews 4 say about the Word of God? It is living and powerful. Breast milk contains living cells, including stem cells, immune cells, and beneficial bacteria. This makes it more akin to blood than a simple liquid. It is biologically active in ways that we do not fully understand. It's hard to stop. Number six, breast milk helps wire the baby's brain. Breast milk is rich in long-chain fatty acids like DHA, which are critical building blocks for brain and eye development. Interestingly, the concentration of these fats in a mother's milk is directly influenced by her own diet, meaning what she eats shapes how her baby's brain grows. Stand with me this morning. Amen. Amen. When mom was first presented with a diagnosis and only given a few months to live, Bethany had stored up frozen breast milk. We made mom smoothies. I wanted to share that, but I wouldn't dare do it without her permission. But this is number 11 on the list. Are you ready? Breast milk can kill cancer cells. Researchers discovered a compound in breast milk called HAMLET, that stands for human alpha lactalbumin, made lethal to tumor cells. It has been shown in laboratory studies to trigger self-destruction in cancer cells while leaving healthy cells unharmed. It is being actively studied as a potential basis for future cancer therapies. Anything. Are you following me? This is the original milk from the all-breasted one, from El Shaddai himself. It's life to those that find it. It's health to all their flesh. That's why the Bible says, and he sent his word and he healed them. Say, Pastor Mark, you know, I'm just not into it. It's the milk that grows the teeth that chews the meat. Desire it. Desire it. Desire it. Stop saying, I'm just not into that. Start saying, I can't get enough of the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love hearing the Word. I love reading the Word. I love studying the Word. I love talking to my friends about the Word. I love receiving the Word. I love memorizing the Word. I love meditating on the Word. I love the Word. Amen. Make it a priority in your life. Listen to it. Read it. Find trusted people to hear explain it. If you just absolutely can't come to discipleship class, every single class you can listen to, it's not the same. I'm going to tell you, it's not the same as being in the room. But you could still be in discipleship. You can even get a completion certificate if you want one. Amen. It's on YouTube. It's on church website. It's on Facebook. It's on Vimeo. Amen. What are we doing? This on steroids is what we're doing. Amen. Amen. Bryce, how many times you take a discipleship class?
6 years.
Amen. 6 of the 22 years that man's been there. Jeff and Wendy were in the first class. I don't know how many times they've taken it. So I said, well, why would you? I mean, did you not get it the first time? It's living. It's not static, it's dynamic. Thank God I know more now than I did 22 years ago. Takes me longer to, it's like, man, what do we got to, all right, I'm rambling. Father, you're good to us, and we love you, and we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for helping us. We thank you for what you've provided for us, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you are revealing your truth to us in our inward parts, Lord. Not because we've been good little boys and girls, but because we long for it. According to our longing to understand, you reveal these truths to us. Because we come with an open heart, because we want to know your truth, and we want to know your word, Father, so that we can live a life that glorifies you and satisfies us and is making a difference in this world, Father. So, Lord, I thank you that we're growing, Father, because we're desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Lord, it's an essential. It is essential for growth. It is essential for growth. It is essential for growth. This is why the devil tries so hard, Father, to keep us from ever hearing it, and then he tries so hard to steal the Word from us once we do. It's because we're easier for him to handle when we're babies. We're easier for him to deal with when we're children. Father, I thank you that every person in this room, every born-again believer, Father, listening to me online right now, has within them the ability to rule and reign over the devil and over all of his works and destroy and undo his works, reverse what he's done and is doing in other people's lives. Cast him out, bind him, put him under our feet. So, Lord, we're growing. We're growing. This family of faith is growing. I don't just mean growing in numbers, Father. We're growing, sure enough, growing, Father. Growing up into Jesus in all things is how we're growing. And we thank you and we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. You go in peace. You be blessed. Shake somebody's hand. Hug somebody's neck. Love somebody in Jesus. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we'll see you Wednesday night, if not before. Praise God.